Welcome to Jenny's Uncensored Pennies. I am Jennifer Marie Martinez, and this is My Two Cents. So today I am going to elaborate on the conversation that we published last week in regards to the story of my biological father. You'll hear me say biological father or even father, but it means the same thing. It's the same person. Okay. And so I'm recording this conversation alone. And yeah, I really felt like I held back a little bit. I know I started that previous episode with a trigger warning. So same rules apply here, right? Same trigger warning. If you're sensitive to conversations around domestic violence or sexual assault, sexual abuse, you know, maybe don't listen to this one. If you skipped the last episode and you want to brave this episode, I think you'll be okay, but you have been warned. And I have to, you know, I have to say that for myself and to, you know, try to take care of you listening. So anyway, that being said, yeah, when we released the last conversation, when we sat down to record, we knew what we were going to discuss or what I was going to share. And immediately, you know, Adam, because he loves and cares for me so much, he got really anxious. And so his anxiety, I guess, then made me kind of hold back a little bit. Yeah, and I was like, taking care of him. And I get it, you know, like it's really different for me to share experiences that were painful in my life because everything that I talk about, I have healed from, I have moved on, I have forgiven, you know, the other parties, I've forgiven myself and what have you. And so I can speak about it. And it's very different for a person that cares about me to hear me speak about those things because, you know, maybe they haven't processed it. I mean, I'm sure when you hear somebody that you care about talk about an experience that they lived through, you know, it makes you feel a certain kind of way. Maybe like for me, I get really protective, right? I go like, well, who do I have to fight? kind of a thing. Or, you know, and then also like kind of grieving like that pain or the situation for the person that I care about that's sharing that experience, right? That whole empathy. So anyway, all right. I shared that, yes, I was conceived in domestic violence, right? I shared one of my earliest memories of hearing screaming and fighting and my biological father hitting my mother. I think I shared that there was an age gap also of 3 years. So my mother was 15 and my father was 18 at the time. So, I mean, sure, I had that memory and pretty much all my childhood, like, it's like I knew that my father would beat on my mother, but I didn't get it. Like, I didn't get what that meant. I knew it was bad, if that makes sense. Like, I knew it was bad, but I didn't get it to the point where, like, as a child, it wasn't like I didn't want to have anything to do with my father. I wanted my father. I wanted my father to love me. I wanted my father's attention. I wanted to make memories with my father. And certainly when I would reach out to my father, it was because I genuinely did miss him. And, you know, because I also felt because of certain things that were going on in the household that I wanted, like I needed his protection, right? I needed my father. If my father was around, then maybe I wouldn't have been abused in the ways that I was abused. So now in regards to my conception and it not being consensual, you know, that thought like never, ever crossed my mind. That possibility never crossed my mind. Sure, I knew from my own memories And then from, you know, things, adult speaking or whatever, like I knew that my father beat my mother, but for him to have raped her, like that never crossed my mind. So it wasn't until I was in my late 20s, I was actually 27, that I found this out. My sisters actually were the ones that told me that, you know, our mother had made a comment to them, you know, insinuating that my father raped her. And so when I asked my mother about it, she confirmed that she was very afraid of my father and that she did not give consent. And I remember her saying, like, that it backfired on him, right? It backfired on him because her parents or their parents then made them get married. And so it's all sorts of just messed up. Like, they were neighbors. I mean, my paternal grandmother was even my mother's godmother for her confirmation. They were neighbors. And to my knowledge, my paternal grandmother was a single mother at the time. And yeah, I mean, next door neighbors. So, I mean, I don't know how that relationship started, of course, or whatever. I do know how it ended. And then here I was, 27 years old, hearing this news for the very first time. And suddenly it all made sense. I was unwanted. Like, that's why I felt like a burden. I mean, just imagine, right, going through your life, like not knowing this piece of information, and then all of a sudden, and all the while, you know, I was living with my mom, and I mean, a constant thing when she would lose control or I did something that she wasn't planning on, or, you know, my actions didn't go her way, so to speak. A term that she would just throw around loosely with me was, "You're always fucking up my plans. You're always fucking up my plans." And this day, hearing this news, just put that all into perspective for me of what that meant to her, what that really meant to her, right? All the inner younger versions of myself, like, that was affirming to them. Like, holy shit, I was unwanted. And that's why I felt like a burden. My father forced himself on my mother, and it, quote unquote, backfired. They didn't plan on having me. He certainly didn't plan on my mother getting pregnant. He didn't want me the way that he forced himself on my mother. He was then forced to deal with me. So what did I do with that information? Well, I just put a lid on that. I mean, I put a lid on it so tight. And when I first started therapy, you know, I started therapy because I was going through a divorce. I was like deciding whether I was going to get a divorce or not. And then I started, you know, digging into and uncovering like all the ways that my husband was like my mother in so many ways, right? And sure, there was mention of the lack of my father in my life, you know, so that was thrown around here and there, but the focus was more on, you know, of course, the sexual abuse that I experienced. And, you know, and in that's when my father came up, because that's one of the times that I actually saw him, when he, you know, visited me in the hospital and then took me to his home where I spent the weekend with him and his new family, right? With his two children, the oldest being a girl And then the youngest being a boy. So he had a, or has a daughter and a son with his new family. So yeah, I mean, again, that was mentioned in therapy, but I never really felt the need of diving too much into that until 2020, right? And I've talked about like taking my power back with embracing the name Jenny, dropping the Y and changing that Y to an I. And so what I haven't shared until right now, what I'm about to share, is that all of that, like that really, I mean, I always knew, right? I always knew that there was something, I always knew that it went back to Jenny, that little girl that was sexually abused by one of her mother's husbands. But I never realized that it was also that little girl that so wanted her father's protection, her father's love, her father's acceptance, right? Like I never realized that until I dated a man that was out of this relationship in which he, you know, shared a child with, and, you know, that woman's name had the same name as my father's daughter. What are the chances, right? Man has my father's name, his former significant other, and complicated, toxic co-parenting situation. You know, the baby mama is, you know, has the my father's daughter's name. Sorry, I was like kind of getting myself confused there. But anyway, never, you know, thought anything about any of that, like the names or whatever. I mean, I kind of was like, huh, interesting, but still like didn't think anything of that until, you know, and that relationship to me was just like what I needed at the time. Absolutely. You know, it came into my life as like a breath of fresh air at a time when I needed it the most. And granted, I didn't need the betrayal or the heartbreak, but you know what? Or I didn't think I did. But then it turned out that I absolutely did. Like that was exactly what I needed. And it's so crazy, but I firmly believe, like my therapist always says, no coincidences. And the other thing she says is that the universe always gets it right. The universe always gets it right. And so just to give you a little backstory, like this person and that whole dynamic, the guy I was dating, the baby mama and the kid, so many similarities, right? Like he had become a father at the same age that I had become a mother. And then here he was, you know, a year out of this relationship with the mother of his child and, you know, having just a hard time trying to navigate of like, how do I turn this once toxic romantic relationship, now toxic co-parenting relationship into a healthy co-parenting relationship, right? Like I've been there. I was there. It was just like 10 years earlier, right? And so I always had that empathy and I very much, you know, gave of my knowledge of my experience and all of that to kind of help that situation. And so the whole, like when my therapist was like, well, the universe always gets it right. And it was like, yeah, I understand. Like, you know, I needed the breath of fresh air. And then he's very much, you know, benefiting from my knowledge of my experience and, you know, all of that. So I get that. And then when the relationship ended, you know, right after the world shut down and we were all forced to stay indoors, right? Not have any physical contact with anyone that we hadn't been in contact with or didn't, you know, live in under our roof. Like that's when that relationship ended. And ultimately it ended because, well, guess what? Like he chose his baby mama. And yeah, that like came as a surprise to me. And then it also didn't. And of course, he never came out and like said that to me, but come on, you know. And so then, of course, I was like, oh my gosh, like, why? Like, I don't deserve this. And all these things, right, came up for me. And also, I mean, everybody was scared during that time, right? Everybody was scared of what was happening in the world, what was happening with this virus and, you know, distance learning and, you know, working from home, all that stuff. So there was all these other things going on. And at the same time, I had given my heart to this man. And now, you know, he was like ripped out of my life for so many reasons. And I didn't deserve any of that crap. Like I didn't. And I remember when it hit me, I was in the shower and I was crying in the shower. I'm sure many of you have done that, do that. Maybe you're going to do that later today. I don't know. But I was in the shower and I was bawling, right? And I suddenly realized that I wasn't grieving the end of that romantic relationship as much as the little girl inside of me was thinking about that name, and all the times that that man with that name, her father, chose his, I'm going to say new daughter, right? Because he had a whole other family over her. He chose her over me again. I'm not deserving. I don't matter. I'm not lovable. I'm not enough. And so in my therapy session, after I had this like big connection that I made on my own and I felt all the horrible things that I felt, and I went to my therapist with this, she was like, yeah, I get it. And let's explore that. And so that gave me the opportunity to just like really dig deep. And so then I was able to separate, right? Like, okay, obviously he's not my father. His baby mama is not my father's daughter, right? So yes, that whole like big connection or whatever is coming from my younger self, and she's feeling this way. And it's making my present day self think this way about myself, feel this way about myself. And so that's what ultimately led to me just digging even deeper and uncovering those rooted wounds of abandonment, the rooted wounds of rejection, and uncovering just those, and then realizing, right, like where those thoughts came from of how I thought I didn't matter and I was incapable and all this. And then in the last episode, we also spoke about how my father's son had reached out, right, and my whole initial reaction to that and everything. And the big question being, why now? Why now? Like, why was he coming out of nowhere now? And initially it was like, you know, my reaction to him was like, what is it that you want? Right? Like, you have to want something. That was the thought. That was absolutely the thought. Like, what is it that you want? Why now? You must want something from me. And folks, here it was again. Like, it wasn't that he wanted something from me. It was very much that I needed something from him. And so him reaching out came at the perfect moment, because I very much needed to know and hear his story about how this father that I fantasized about, this father that I thought, if he was in my life, he could protect me and love me and make me feel so special and like all this. I came to find out that his child that he did raise, that he didn't leave, that his child had to live with an alcoholic father. And because of that alcoholic father, he very much felt emotionally neglected, you know, emotionally and even verbally abused. And so that just opened my eyes. It opened my eyes, and it was, and this is probably fucked up, but like, it just made me feel better, right? To know that, oh crap, like you had it hard too. And I didn't miss out. I didn't miss out because yeah, my mom had multiple husbands and yeah, one of them sexually abused me, but I had my sisters. I have my sisters. Here's my father's son reaching out to me, opening up to me, being vulnerable with me when he has a sister that he could have, like, why wasn't he sharing these things with her? And I asked him that. And, you know, he gave an answer and I was just like, okay. Wow. And to me, it was just like, it was sad because that wasn't my experience. That's not my experience. I have my sisters and we're close. Oh, I don't know if you guys can hear that, but there's a fighter jet flying over my house right now. Anyway, whoop, never mind. Okay, so I have my sisters are so close. We're so close. You know, I don't know how I would have turned out if I didn't have them. So in a way, it was like, I guess I got the better end of the deal. Or that's, you know, like, sheesh. I mean, pick your poison, right? Sort of a thing. But all that to say, again, like, no coincidences. And I guess the universe does get it right. Because that's exactly what I needed. Like, I needed to go through that heartbreak in the, you know, very beginning of lockdown, which led to, again, my deepest, most inner healing, actually dealing with the pains and the deep wounds created from not having a present biological father in my life, and from yearning for this idea, this fantasy that I created that my biological father, yeah. And again, shit, like I knew that he beat my mother, right? I knew. And then later on, I found out that, you know, he forced himself onto my mother, and that's how I came to be. So how could I have this fantasy that I had of like having this Danny Tanner from Full House, right? Type of father, or, you know, the pick your sitcom that, you know, back in the day of what those shows told us what a father should be like, and or even shit, fantasizing that my father was like Mr. Rogers. That wasn't real. And I needed my father's son to come into my life to tell me that that was not real. And that allowed me to further heal. That led me to the place where I am today. And I don't know if you can hear the smile on my face, but I am smiling because I genuinely know and believe within my bones that my voice does matter. I am capable. I am lovable. I am deserving. And I have always been enough. And so I share my experiences with you so that you know that you are not alone and you have someone to talk to. You can always reach out on social media, Instagram. I'm at Jenny's_pennies. You can text me 805-312-9116. You're not alone. And those, if you're like me, right? I mean, because it's still a practice. Those voices from the past that stemmed from someone else telling me that I can't, telling me that I'm not lovable, telling me that I'm not enough, like it's still a practice, right, to set boundaries and lower the volume, mute those voices from people in the past or maybe even people that are still in my life. It's a constant practice of believing in myself, accepting myself, forgiving myself for having those thoughts, for, you know, sometimes letting those voices get loud. And so I hope that this conversation helps you in knowing that whatever you've gone through, I'm sure you've gone through worse. And I hope that you know, because I'm telling you, if you don't know, listen to the words that I am about to say right now. Your voice does matter. And you are so capable. You are so lovable. You are so deserving. And my friend, you are enough.